Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. Sorry, I gotta get my video up there. This is a live show I try to do every week, and it's intended to be on YouTube live so you can ask questions. If you have questions for me about anything, ask almost anything. Ask them in the comments, and there's questions that have been submitted. If you want to submit questions for future shows, then you can go to the website, Whitewater Guidebook, and figure out how to ask questions. That's the way we prefer it. If you ask them via Instagram and Facebook, we might not get to them because I don't always look at that stuff. So it's better if you do submit them through the Whitewater Guidebook website. Just look for the Gear Garage tab. I have two things to talk about. Well, a bunch of questions. But before we do, I want to talk about a throw bag that I've been working on / putting together. And this is like sort of a commercial, sort of not. First of all, Softalodger is a company that makes Softalodger equipment. It's a company that makes gear for pack rafters. Some of you know I really like this throw bag they made. And I'm a connoisseur of great throw bags. I really believe in the WWTC throw bags we sell. And I saw Softalodger make this. And this is what a modern throw bag should look like. This wraparound closure is so fast and easy to get to. Big wide opening, make it easy to stuff. No dangly rope. The knot, the figure eight is inside of the bag, not down or some big danger handle. And this is a sweet bag. It also has this little loop right here. So if you want to throw a cam strap over it, you can cam strap it in your kayak. You can cam strap it to a raft. It's a sweet bag. And Softalodger makes it. And they make it in quarter-inch rope that's 70 feet long, which is great for pack rafting. It's very useful. It's long. You're not doing a lot of hard pulling. But for river rafting, I feel like a quarter-inch is a bit thin. It's hard to get much pull on that, whether you're pulling a swimmer in or whatever. I like a little bit thicker rope. So I reached out to Softalodger and I bought some of the bags from them. It's an amazing bag. I just want to put different rope in there. And so instead I've gotten 5/16 inch sterling rope. It's not Spectra. It's not like, I'm not going to do a Z rig with this unless it's something like a ducky, but it's strongish rope. It's easy to grab. It's a little thicker. And this has 55 feet of static line in it. So if you want the 70-foot version, go to SockDelodgerEquipment.com. It's a sweet bag, good rope. This is, I think, the better size for most of us that are rafting or kayaking. This is what I'm going to put in my kayak from now on. Again, because I can throw a cam strap like around where the water bottle goes and have it stay in place, but get to it really easily. But I think for most applications, 55 feet of rope for like a personal bag is nice. For kayaking, that's good. If you're rafting, you're going to want a rescue rope, whether that's a static line in the bag or just like a heavy-duty throw bag that's like just a big floppy bag of rope. But for your average, quick, very accurate throw, this is the bag I'm going to use as like my personal bag. I'm going to grab on a scout. I'm going to grab to do like minor things, but not, you're not going to do wraps with this. This rope isn't made for that. So those are what I want to share about throw bags. These are for sale on the River Hardware website. River Hardware is a place where we sell all kinds of gear that we like and approve of. And when I find something I want to sell, I want the public to have it, I throw it there. So I have some of these available if you're interested at riverhardware.com. If I remember, I'll put a link down at the bottom here. So that is that new throw bag. And we have a question from Sean. Did you go to Washington for any big flood runs? No, I did not. For two reasons. One, I was at the America Outdoors Conference all last week when the flooding happened. But more importantly, I'm not a big fan of big flood runs. I feel like running rivers at flood is one of the most dangerous things we can do as boaters. When we're doing that, we want a team of experienced friends going out there. This is like, if I'm going to go do big flood runs, I'm with my best, most trusted boating partners and people that have like solid first aid and rescue experience. Like, I don't want somebody if somebody doesn't know how to do CPR for drowning, I just don't want to go out there with them. It's just a choice. So when it's a big water flood run, I am super selective of who I'm going to go with. and when I'm going to go. And also, like, a big thing is when rivers are on the rise, I think they're incredibly dangerous. I'm always catching, if they're rising, I'm catching them on the back end when they're falling. And, you know, there's, in the first flood of the year is also the most dangerous. The first flood of the year is when the most debris is coming down, because the river comes up. It hasn't been up for like 6 months, whatever. All the brush that fell down at the banks is coming down. And that's when new strainers appear. So big flood, first flood of the year. It's just not something I'm going to engage in personally. Now we're about to see round two, like here in Hood River. You know, it got pretty high. I ran the Hood the other day at pretty good levels. And on the way down, well, it's going to ramp back up again. That's when I'm more likely to go, when all the debris come down. Most of the debris come down. Like spike number two is a little bit better. So I probably won't drive to Washington for that. I might stay locally and do stuff. But the levels they were in Washington last week, I think are personally irresponsible to run it at. One, because like I mentioned earlier, high water is really dangerous. But two, search and rescue is already taxed. Like there's real people that are not recreating that emergency services are rescuing. So if you go out there after fun when rivers are flooding like that big and you get into trouble, you chose to be there, and you're putting people who are through pretty much no fault of their own in danger. So I don't think we should be like taxing our search and rescue and emergency services further by going in and like recreating on rivers when they're at that flood. Now, again, round two is about to happen. Depends how big it is. I'm a little more comfortable going now on the second flood bump, but also with high water, like it's with a team of my most trusted best friends, not just go meet some randos and go boating. I could talk about high water boating forever, but I'm not going to, so we can get on with the show. But thanks for asking, Sean. Okay, starting a rafting company. I understand you were an engineer outside of the rafting industry and transitioned to running your own company. Can you please speak a little about how you went about that transition? So I was not an engineer. I studied engineering with hopes of being a teacher. And I like engineering for me is like a lot of people do like the easiest major for them. And for me, potentially the easiest might have been engineering's hard, but like I don't like writing papers. And so I wanted a major that didn't involve writing papers, and I like doing math problems. So it's a lot of work doing engineering, but I enjoyed the math problems and I enjoy the math. So I studied engineering, wanted to take that into teaching, which would allow me to guide in the summers. Teaching was the perfect job because you can do it in cool places. You know, you're not, back then you had to live in a city to have a job usually, a lot of the jobs, especially engineering. But I wanted, my goal was to live in like Tahoe, and there was a community college there. And I never worked at that community college. But I taught high school for 2 years and then community college for 2 years with the hopes of in Central Valley, California, Merced, with the hopes of getting a job at like Tahoe or Grass Valley, somewhere in California where I lived at the time. That was really cool. When I was teaching, at the end of my teaching community college career, I was offered a job to run the company that I guided for, which came out of the blue. It was unexpected. I was actually applying to go back to grad school again and get a master's in math so I could teach math, because I was teaching engineering at the community college. I wanted to teach math. I was about to go get another degree in math. And right then the owners of the company I worked for, Echo, and I was a guide for them. They're like, hey, actually we want you to quit teaching and learn our business from us and then run it for us. And that's how I started my job. Back then I ran the company for the outfitters, for the guys that owned it. And then in 2009, I just got super lucky and was offered the opportunity to buy another rafting company at a very low price. And so again, I just kind of backed into it. The transition for me was really unique. If I was an engineer and wanted to transition into owning a rafting company, if you're thinking about that, I would say, don't do that. Owning a rafting company is very hard. It's not the best financial decision. If you have a good job, you should keep your good job. Like, and owning a rafting company isn't as fun and cool as everybody thinks. There's a lot of hard parts too. It's not just like I get to go rafting and be rad all the time. It's the same thing, you know, the same, I'm doing Zoom meetings, I'm doing accounting, I'm dealing with the government, with permits and licensing, insurance. Like, it's a lot of stuff that isn't that cool. And it doesn't, the reward isn't there as much as like other jobs. And so I'm certainly glad I did it and I love doing it. But also, if it never happened and I was still a teacher, I probably would also love having been a teacher for the past 20 years. So yeah, that's how I did it. But my path is unique. And there are very few outfitters who started off as guides without money. Like, you know, like there's a few of us who, like, you know, we didn't have money, but we were guides and it now own companies. It's a pretty rare thing. Usually people go into it like they're guides and they just have a bunch of money. They bought a company, or a lot of, you know, a lot of people who, you know, they're second, third generation, just the company gets passed down from like kid to kid. And, you know, your parents did it, you grew up in it. And then, you know, you inherited the company or bought it from your parents. And there's a lot of more of those things than there are. Like, I had a career and I chose to do this instead. Unless you have a lot of money. If you have like $1 million or $2 to just give it a shot, that's the way to do it. Mark Sims, what's up? Let's get Mark Sims up here. Can't speak to the Western Washington rivers, but there was a wild amount of wood in the first flood stage. Washed an entire intact wooden deck float by the rail, still attached. Yeah. I mean, floods always bring wood, but that first one of the year just loves to grab everything that fell down and is quite dangerous. Thanks, Sims, for adding that in. Okay, back to the questions. Hopefully I answered this one about starting a rafting company. Yep, about my transition. Cool. Upper Canyon Chetco. I had a question about boat size for the Upper Chetco run. Would an air outfitter tube be too long of a boat? I have an opportunity to buy one used in really good shape, but worry it's a bit too big to run the Upper Chetco. Any advice you can offer on boat size? I don't remember exactly what the air outfitter 2 looks like, but it would be a good boat. And this is a question that sort of depends on what water levels you're going to do. I'm assuming you're going to do it lower water levels, but in my opinion, you want a big ducky because you want something super stable with gear. You're going over like big drops and making weird moves. Big tubes, big stable boat are, in my opinion, the way to go. And so the boat that I designed specifically for the Chetco, I'm Googling it right now. It's called the Wing Jimbo Kayak. I'm pretty sure it's bigger than the Air Outfitter 2. So let me see if I can pull it up here. Give me a second. This is it right here. If you look at the dimensions, 10'6". Let me Google air. What was that? Air. What boat was that again? Let me get back to the question. Air Outfitter 2. So the Air Outfitter 2, I'm going to pull up the dimensions here in a separate site. Oh, they're out of stock. That's good. They're selling boats. So 12'2", the Jimbo's 10'6". So it's a foot and a half longer. 41 inches wide on the Outfitter 2. This is a 40.5. And tube diameter, the Outfitter 2 is 12.5-inch tubes. So this boat's 12-inch. So I think the boat, the Jimbo, in my opinion, is perfect. Of course, I designed it, so I'm gonna say that. But I've also used it commercially. I've taken people with almost no experience and put them in these, no experience kayaking, and they've had great success. And I've also run these boats with heavily loaded gear boats with like a, you know, that bag up front you see with like six of those bags in it to get down the Chetco. It's worked great. I think the Outfitter 2 is maybe a little bit long for the Chetco, but I think it would do fine. I mean, again, it depends on you. The one thing I really like about the Jimbo is that it doesn't have a pointy end. So let me pull up. Let me see if I can do this. Let me see if I can pull up another page. Share screen. Oh, let me share a different screen. Outfitter 2. This is it right here. So the idea of the Jimbo is just cut off the pointy ends. So the one thing about, you know, if you're running bigger volume rivers and waves, yeah, the pointy ends are kind of nice. But for running creaky stuff, the pointy ends just make it too long. So the idea of the Jimbo is we just cut the pointy ends, made it more of a bulbous bow. So it's basically the same boat, but we got rid of the point. So if you're making it, you know, if you're making a quick turn above a rock, that pointy end's going to grab sometimes, where the Jimbo is just going to slide right by. But otherwise, they're pretty similar. If you can get a good deal on this boat, it's going to be fine. I think it's going to be better than like a pack raft or a small ducky. So we're, you know, people have a small tube, really like a Sotar almost. If you're a very good boater, you can get the Sotar down. It'll be really fun, but it's not that forgiving. It'll flip way more. It'll catch more stuff. The pack rafts just sit too low in the water and they're not that durable, you know, when your butt's hitting rocks more. So like, I'm a big fan of big tube, big boat. You'll find your way down versus the small boats, which can flip off rocks easier. You know, if you flip a ducky on the Chetco, it's not going to be a big wave or hole. It's going to be hitting a rock sideways or something weird or going under a slightly undercut rock and flipping that way. So getting back to your question, would an air outfitter tube be too long? This be fine for me. I mean, again, you might, I don't know your boating ability or your experience, but I'd be fine. I'd much rather take the air outfitter two than a pack raft, but optimally it would be the wing Jimbo. So like as close as you can get to the wing Jimbo as possible. I've also taken down the air back raft. They stopped making them, but it's a shorter version of this. It's a little pointy. And the back rafts are good if you're a good boater, but they're flippier for sure. That's where I've seen more problems. If you're a good boater, you'll love the back raft, which is essentially a back raft, I think, is now. Let's go back to this. How do I move that back to here? If you look at the smaller kayaks, I think it's almost the same design as like maybe a hot potato. These are, I don't know the sizes of all these. Outfitter one, outfitter two, sweet potato. Wow, they got all kinds of cool stuff. I think this is actually, if I remember right, yeah, this is a beefed up version of a tater. What's the length on this? Let's see, length 8.4, which is probably similar-ish. So this is similar to the back rafts we used. And this would go, but I'd personally rather have something bigger or longer. This is less stable. And so on those, like, you know, a lot of it's like rock piles you're paddling over. Stability is really nice. You can jump around on the boat, move your weight. This thing, if you weight it a little bit off, it's going to flip semi-easily. But it's also going to be lighter, so it's easier to carry in. So for me, a big factor for the Chetco was the weight and volume of the boat. When you roll a big, if it rolls really big, it's unwieldy on your pack, regardless of the weight. So you volume matters a bit, but also just the weight. If you save 5 pounds, that's 5 pounds. If you save 10 pounds, 20 pounds, that's a massive difference for your hike in. Okay, going back to questions. Here we go. Hopefully I answered that one pretty well. Topic, second boat purchase. Big fan of the show and Rowan School alum. Awesome. Thank you. I've been rafting for a few years and own a 16-foot high side, which is great for overnights and most trips I go on. Yeah, 16-foot high side is just a solid, solid boat. I think I'm interested in purchasing a cataract for running more challenging rivers with friends, specifically day trips in the Pacific Northwest, like the Chetco Wind and lots of trips in the Wenatchee. Hopefully some shorter, more challenging multi-day runs too. I was curious if you had strong opinions about cataract size. Do you think a 12.6 Sotar Legend is versatile enough for short overnights in addition to all those day trips? Or does a 14-foot cap make more sense? Or should I just get the 12.6 and just use a 16-foot high side for overnights? Why should I choose a 13-foot cat versus 13-foot raft? Lots of questions here. Okay, I see more questions, so let's get to this. First of all, you're not going to run the Chetco in a cat. It's just, you're not going to be able to hike it in. Like, or it's, I don't think it's even been rafted ever. Maybe somebody rafted it once. But like the Chetco is a ducky kayak run. It's just not realistic to hike a raft or a cat in. And it's so narrow at times that you could get a Chetco down up or a cat down up, but probably not. You're thinking more like Illinois, Wind, Wenatchee, that kind of stuff. And Mark Sims is here. Mark, I'd love to know your opinion. I'm going to say don't. So the 12.6 is the most versatile cat. I mean, by the way, this is my opinion based on me talking to a lot of people and boating a lot. The 12.6 is the most versatile. I would do a 4-day trip on 12.6. Of course, I'm not bringing, like, you're not going to bring like a partner steel stove and big chairs, you're going to go like lean to mean, unless you have people with the raft. And you have the 16-foot raft. So for like the Rogue, Middle Fork, bring 16-foot raft. You could do like South Fork Salmon, Illinois, and overnight, you know, 12-6 and do great. The 12-6 is a pretty forgiving boat. It's a combination of like big enough to be forgiving, but small enough to be somewhat maneuverable. Solid all-around boat. I wouldn't go 14-foot cat. It's just too big. It's not even fun. It's so big. It's too forgiving, and it's not that maneuverable. And it's just a lot of boat to move. But honestly, I'm a huge fan of the 11-foot cat. Sotar has the Legend Creaker, which is probably my favorite wing, has tubes. I think they still make tubes that I helped them design. Something like that. The 11-foot with a long water line. Because the long water line gives it stability. Like it keeps its angle, but it's super maneuverable. And also, if you're doing day runs, it's just lighter. You know, when you're trying to transport a 12 and a half, 14-foot cat to put in and take out and put in and take out, it's just a lot of boat. The 11-foot, you can kind of, most people carry by themselves. And you're in the water. You feel the water because you're like, you know, it's responsive. You know, for me running the wind, the 11-foot cat's my favorite. The 12 and a half is more forgiving. Like if you go in a big hole, it's going to probably make it through. But it's way easier to miss the hole to begin with than the 11 because it's less boat to move around. And I can put, for me, for a 3 or 4 day trip, I can put all the gear I need. Of course, I'll go backpacking style. I'm not going to bring again all the stuff. But you can put plenty of gear for like a South Fork Salmon trip on an 11 if you want to. And if I was doing a South Salmon, I'd probably prefer if I was a self-support cataract on the South Salmon in Illinois, probably the 12-6. I'd probably prefer a little bit, but I'd be happy with the 11. So that's a very long way of saying 12-6, you can't go wrong. Sweet boat, get that. You're going to be in good shape. But I consider the 11, especially since you have the 16-foot raft. Take the 16-foot raft on the Illinois. Take the 16-foot raft everywhere. Get yourself a sports car and go have some fun. Like that to me is a sweet wind boat. All right. Finally, any thoughts on manufacturers, Sotar versus Highside versus Moravia? Any others you'd recommend? You know, for cats, I think I'm Sotar. I think Highside has some new designs that are kind of cool. I think Moravia, I don't think Moravia's got cats figured out. I haven't seen a Moravia cat. There's too much rocker. Like they're just twitchy out there. I think the question is Air versus Sotar. I think the new Air cats are, you know, the Wave Destroyers are great. I heard they're like even making a newer cat, but like the Sotar or the Wave Desire or the Sotar Legend or the Wave Destroyers by Air are sweet boats. You know, you just have to decide if you're an Air person or a Sotar person. I think the price isn't that different. You know, do you like zippers or not? Don't like zippers. Like they're solid. I have Sotar cats and I'm super jazzed on them. I think they're amazing. So if I had to pick one, it would be Sotar, but Air is a close second. And then Highside maybe, and I don't know, somebody else makes cats out there. And then Moravia is at the bottom of my list. They didn't really nail those designs. I like Moravia boats. I just don't think they have their cats figured out. And then of course, if you want 11, that wing 11, I would put is equivalent to the Sotar. The wing and the Sotar 11 are pretty equivalent. I have both. I have a wing and a Sotar 11. They're both awesome and equivalent. I know without knowing me, my skills and experiences might be a tough question to answer. Yeah, it's almost impossible to answer these questions without knowing that stuff, but hopefully what I shared with you is enough. Cool. Yeah, thanks. So I just going back, like my overall, if I'm just gonna tell you what to do, get the 11-foot Sotar Legend and ask for the Creaker version. Dave Nissen made a Creaker version of the Legend that I think is has a long water line. If they still know how that pattern, that's the one I would get. That's my long answer. And that's the last question, but I see some more questions popping up. Let's see. With the high water on the Rogue and the recent fires, do you think below Rogue River Ranch will be crowded with no camping? With the high water on the Rogue and recent fires, do you think below the Rogue River Ranch will be crowded with no camping below the ranch on the last 15 miles? I don't quite understand the question. You mean like now or this summer? The high water on the Rogue I don't think if you go now, there will be anybody down there. Like, it won't be crowded. Yeah. So I just don't understand the question. Maybe somebody can explain this one to me. Mark, I usually take an 11-foot Sotar cat on the Wenatchee and works for overnight if you're packed. Yep. Yep. That boat Sims has is sweet. Like, the 11-foot Sotar is the way to go. It's a great boat. Zach, you had an R2 class posted to Northwest Drafting Company for a hot minute in South America. Any thoughts on doing an R2 class in the Northwest next spring? So, yeah, we had these – last year we did rowing schools in Ecuador. I remember thinking it'd be amazing to do an R2 class in Ecuador. And we had two rowing schools and an R2 class going in Ecuador. And my partner, who down there stopped, closed his lodge. So we had to cancel everything. So then that's happening. There has been a lot of talk about doing an R2 class here in Hood River. It would be amazing. I just haven't sat down to do the work to get that ready. If you are serious and you want one and you're like, yeah, if you do it, I'll sign up. Send me an email. Send us an email to our main email. And that will give me the motivation to put it together. What I don't want to do is put a bunch of work into like putting it together and then just having it fall apart. Like, I'm crazy busy right now. So like, I don't want to create a whole class like I did for Ecuador and then have it fall apart. And so if there's actual interest in this, it would be amazing. We could go do some cool rivers. It'd be really fun. Send me a note and that'll motivate me. Like, you're really serious about it. And I'll think about it. Cool. Steve, first time catching a live stream. Super grateful for our content. Thanks. I've been poverty tier in Tahiti for 20 years. Just bought my first 13.6 Sotar. Excited for, okay, sweet. Yeah, 13.6 Sotar is a sweet boat. Sweet. I mean, 13 foot. So, oh, that reminds me. This question, hold on, how do I go back? I feel like he asked, why should I choose a 13-foot cat versus a 13-foot raft? I think a 13-foot raft is honestly, like, it depends what your goals are. Like, if your goal is to row like the Rogue lightweight, the 13-foot raft is good. You want to do the middle fork lightweight, a 13-foot raft is good. Your 16 is going to be sweet for all that stuff. So you have the 16. You want the cat as like your day trip boat. A raft as a day trip boat works, but the cat's more forgiving and easier to travel with and easier to carry up and down. Like a big part of day trip boating is getting your boat from your vehicle to the river and back to your vehicle. You can be able to transport the cat by yourself versus the raft. Like, everybody get over here, all four of us, 1, 2, 3, lift. You know, so if you're rowing and you're really into things like the wind, or you want to do the wind, the cat's the way to go. If your goal is to like do like the Clackamas and then overnight trips in a boat, I would do the 13-foot raft. But for you already having a 16-foot raft, I just go cat. Hopefully, I forgot about that part of the question. Awesome answer suggestions regarding cats and response in the comments. Yeah. No, it's that time of year where we're thinking about doing all these fun runs. Like, rivers are up, like, let's go out and boat amazing things. And so which boats to get and play with are top of mind. Oh, and it changes. I mean, I feel like I haven't talked about cats and rafts and air versus Sotar versus Moravia much for the past couple of years. And my opinions have changed a little bit, partially because I have learned more about them, but also because the manufacturers have also changed a little bit. Like, so there's been some ownership changes. There's been some new designs, some new fabrics, some new ideas. And so, the manufacturer is always in flux, depending on who owns it, who's running it, how motivated they are to come up with new innovative things. And I think right now is a cool time. There's some really cool boats out there. So that's it, everyone, for today. Thanks for watching. If you have a second, hit the like button. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, mainly because it boosts my ego, and I love boosting my ego. So please think about subscribing, and I'll see you all probably the week after Christmas. Maybe next week, but probably not. Probably the week after Christmas.